Hey guys, welcome to Uncommon Faith. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Amber.
And today we have my other best friend. Don't get jealous, Amber.
Nope, that never happened.
We have Sarah Shorter. She's here to talk about her journey with infertility. So, yes, say hi.
Hi, guys. Hi, everybody.
Hi. I mean, I'm so excited because we haven't talked in, goodness, probably 20 years. That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Time flies.
Wrinkles come and time flies.
Well, I definitely want to talk about how we first met in high school. Do you remember? You don't remember that when we actually first met, right?
No, I have the worst memory, and you have the memory of what, an elephant? Is that elephant? Elephant. Elephant is a very good memory.
That's yes. Horrible. Yes, I'm a big giant elephant. Yeah, I don't know where that saying even came from. That's kind of dumb. So we first met in high school when I had another friend come over to my grandma's and you guys had had a sleepover.
Oh my gosh, sleepovers. It's so, those are good memories.
And so you were probably like super tired and you were just sitting on my grandma's couch. But I like literally don't talk to that other person really anymore. So maybe I just like, I was like, well, I think that person, me and her, we're going to be friends forever. Oh man. And, I just like, I literally just remember like all of a sudden we just became really fast friends. I don't remember like a getting to know you period. It was just like, we were just put in this group together and then I think I was just, I gravitated more towards you and your personality.
Aww.
And, and all of our adventures of you driving around in your crayon car.
Oh my gosh, that car. So embarrassing.
Well, we need to specify because it didn't look like it's a Crayola crayon.
Yeah.
What kind of car was it?
It was a Ford Taurus, and my mom was like trying to make it look so cool for me as I turned 16, and she's like, oh, this is a crappy car. Let's make it exciting and make it look cool. Well, it turned out, so she put pinstriping on the side of the car and then put like Hawaiian flowers like sewn in into the seats. Like you couldn't even take the stuff off. Like it was like sewn into the seats and then the pinstriping was like crazy. So it looked like a little kid came up and just drew with his crayon on the car. So it didn't, she had such good intentions, but it was really embarrassing, but I couldn't say anything because I was like, my mom did something nice for me. So yeah, I was then known as the crayon car girl. And ever since.
I literally never knew that she did that intentionally.
Yes. She was trying to be so sweet. And they actually even put Hawaiian flowers on the car and I made them take it off because I was just so embarrassed by it. But, you know, I couldn't say too much because she was trying to do something nice for me. So, yeah.
She totally should have done like flames.
I mean, what's worse? I'm not really sure.
That may have been like a completely different like teenage years if you had flames on your car.
I would have been so much cooler. So much cooler.
Well, that you actually weren't allowed to drive us around because you didn't have your license yet for long enough, but you did. And I was just like, this is cool.
You know, my friends got a car. It's so funny that you say that because I was always somebody that followed the rules and never did anything. Mm-hmm. Like I told my mom when I rolled my eyes at her, like that's how like rule follower I was. So I feel like that was when I started to, you know, kind of push the boundaries. I'm going to car with somebody else. I'm not supposed to like, oh God.
She knew that though, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. She was probably like, Sarah, come on, like do something bad.
Live a little, Sarah. Oh my goodness. But that actually led to, you know, one of our times, one of our times gallivanting around, and we went to this, I guess it's a school, is it an elementary school parking lot? Was that a school?
I don't really remember. I remember the parking lot, but I don't remember.
Where the boys were playing.
Yes.
Yeah, they were playing hockey, right? That's a school, right? Yeah, so it's because of you that me and my husband met.
Just call me matchmaker.
Yeah. Yep, you're Cupid for sure. You could start your own business.
That's true.
Yeah, so then, oh gosh, you were crushing on one of his friends. I think it was like, honestly, all of it, I think, was just so that I could meet Evan.
Yeah. Which is so funny when you think about how that actually worked out and you guys are married and have a family.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
Well, because we are like completely different from when we first met.
Yeah. You grow up so much like in your 20s, right? So I don't know. I just feel like it's so crazy for somebody to make it from high school all the way here. Like, that's good job. Bravo.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll take your applause now. Yeah. So, oh gosh, we had some crazy memories. So Amber, do you remember when you met Sarah? You guys both literally have the worst memories, so this should be interesting.
Kind of, sort of, not really. It was one of the two scenarios. It was either at youth group, or three scenarios, church camp or your birthday party. I don't remember if you invited me to the birthday party or if I went with a friend and it was your birthday party. I cannot remember at all.
That was like, what, my 16th?
16th, the year you got your car.
Oh, gosh. So embarrassing.
I don't remember being invited to your birthday party.
Oh, ouch.
It was probably
both of us there.
I remember you sang. Yeah, you sang. That's why my family like freaking loves you, because it was like you sang at that party, I thought. Didn't you? Or maybe that was my graduate.
I sang at your graduation party.
Oh, see, this is how bad my memory is. I
didn't get invited to the graduation party, so how about that one?
Well, my birthday party was a surprise, so I had no control over who was invited.
I did not go to that party. But it was in September.
See, I wonder how I got invited.
I must have met you later that school year.
Maybe.
Right? No, because you turned 16 after me. Did you not invite me to your birthday? Your mom didn't invite me to your birthday party.
Maybe she didn't know. She didn't know we were friends yet.
Wow.
I don't know how I got invited. I don't get invited anywhere. I was like the nerd that got invited to a cool girl party.
I was not cool. Obviously. Hence the car, like not cool.
It was a car where all the rest of us did not have a car, so.
You were cool compared to me and no one showing up to my sweet 16.
Yeah.
I think Ashley was the only one that came to mine.
I remember my aunt and my mom were like, oh, you're just going to do, like my aunt was having this dinner party and she was like, you're just going to serve at the dinner party. And so I was like, oh, I don't have to be that cute. Like I'll just dress professional. And that's how that, and then it was my surprise 16th birthday. How embarrassing. Like at least say something so I dress up cute. Like
they were probably just like, you know what, you do you, Sarah. Like,
I guess
you want to be professional. Oh my gosh.
Oh,
memories.
That's funny.
Thank you.
Okay, so you're here today. One of the first people that I wanted to come on as a guest because you have a great story of infertility, and I just had to be waiting for you to be ready. So I was really, really happy and excited that you were ready. Anyway, so let's get into it. Now that we've had our laughs and our giggles out, you purposely wanted to wait to have kids.
I had been wanting to go to dental hygiene school. And so Philip, my husband, was very adamant that I do that first, which I think I kind of won a little bit because we did start trying before I went to hygiene school. But then, you know, a lot of times I realized that Philip is right mm-hmm. about a lot of things. And so I have to be stubborn for a little bit. And then I finally give in and realize he was right about something. So I went to hygiene school.
Well, it was a really stressful
thing. It was really stressful. And there's a lot of, there's a lot of people that go through dental hygiene school, either pregnant or with kids. And I can't even imagine because it was mentally and physically draining. And I'm a kind of a high stress person. So it definitely was not the best idea to try to get pregnant before that. But, you know, when you want something, you want something. And I'm kind of impatient. So it didn't work out for me, obviously. But you always have like...
Well, we kind of talked about that in another episode about of wanting to have it all. Like why, like, you know, like, well, I want to do the career and I want to have the kids and I want to have the white picket fence and I want to be able to do everything all at the same time. And why do we want to juggle it all? It's insane. I don't know if we'll ever know the answer.
Yeah, it is insane. And right. And I think as I get older, I realize like, you know, there's all these things that you think life should go according to, kind of just like what society says that should happen. And it's kind of, it puts a lot of pressure on you as a woman to do things in a specific order or even to just do things at all, like have your own career or be a mom. Some people don't want to be a mom. And it's like people make you feel bad because of that. And so it's like trying mm-hmm. to retrain your brain when things don't go according to plan or what you think it should pan out like. Obviously, mm-hmm. you kind of have to like have a funeral for your own plan.
But, yeah.
Things don't always work out the way they should.
So a year and a half into marriage, you change your mind.
So I probably am not very good at remembering exact dates or years, or you know me, I like literally my brain is mush even before getting pregnant. But I know for sure that we tried before hygiene school, then after hygiene, or actually in the middle of my last year, we started trying again and it ended up being 4 years of trying. So it was a long, long process and not what we expected. But do I need to like tell you all the details of
it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to do details. I mean, whatever you're comfortable with, but
I don't even know where to start.
So you obviously, you tried the normal way, the natural way. How long did you try that way before you're like, need to?
So we probably tried for maybe a year and a half. Usually when you go see a doctor, they won't even talk to you about problems unless you've been trying for a year actively, which is frustrating, I think, for a lot of people. But I think people, when they realize they want to get pregnant, they think it can happen according to their timeline. And it's actually pretty difficult to get pregnant because there's only a couple days in a month that you can get pregnant and you have to guess correctly or else it's not going to happen. And I think that people don't realize like how hard it is to actually get pregnant. So mm-hmm. the doctors wouldn't even talk to us at first. So after a year and a half, we tried some medication, some pills called Clomid. It's just supposed to help you ovulate. So we tried that. And I will say that even in the beginning stages, it puts a lot of pressure on your relationship, puts a lot of pressure on your intimacy. So that's kind of another factor that you have to kind of like consider, because instead of just having fun, like they say, it becomes not so fun anymore and kind of worrisome. It's stressful. So that's where we started. And obviously that didn't work. We tried that a couple months and then we're finally referred to an infertility specialist. So obviously that's a little scary when you're referred and you don't know what's happening. Obviously you have to go through a lot of testing. Both me and my husband had to get tested, which is embarrassing and you have to be very vulnerable because you're kind of putting your intimacy out to people that you don't know. It's awkward and it's just very, it's hard. So we did get tested and I found out that
it's very clinical.
Yes, very clinical. And it's just awkward. It's an awkward situation. It's awkward to talk about. It's awkward to go through these steps. But I thankfully have a husband that was very on board. Sometimes that doesn't happen for people and that just makes things harder. But we did go through the testing. I found out that I have PCOS, which is polycystic whatever syndrome.
Ovarian syndrome. Which,
yes. So basically, I don't ovulate every month. So a lot of people with PCOS can conceive naturally and be fine. There's a lot of symptoms that come with that, but I didn't have a lot of the symptoms that were basically PCOS. I just had too many eggs. So that's how they knew. They could see that my egg reserve was really high. And so they knew that I wasn't ovulating every month. Obviously, you need to ovulate to get pregnant. So that was an issue. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the next step for that was that they would monitor. So it's called monitored intercourse. Isn't that, this is like cringeworthy, like monitored intercourse. Like, what are you, like, are you going to?
So, yeah, you're like, you're going to what? You're going to what? Like sit in the room? Like a, what do they call those types of tests?
Yeah,
those
exactly. Like, is that a home visit?
Is that a home visit?
Yeah. Sleep apnea test? Like
that. I literally could see you sitting there like, is that a home visit? Like, what?
I mean, you learn so much that you just don't want to know. Like, it's just crazy. But basically what it is you take medication, either a pill form or a shot that you have to give yourself, and they monitor your egg growth and they tell you, so you have to go in for ultrasounds multiple times a day or multiple times in the week. And they tell you when you ovulate and they say, go home and go ahead and have sex the next 2 days. And then you wait. So It's very interesting. Can you imagine the pressure? Like the pressure on my husband, the pressure on me. Like, it's just, it's horrible.
I know. Or like the fact that like a medical professional is like, okay, now go home and have sex.
Exactly. It's just,
you're like, well, there goes all the romance.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we did that a couple months, which did not work. And at this point, like, you're hopeful, right? Because you're getting help. There's options. There's a lot of options in front of us. So as we go through these options, obviously the hope kind of like diminishes a little bit because you're wondering like, what is wrong? Like the doctors are saying like, this isn't that big of a deal. Like you can conceive, like there's lots of women who conceive with this condition, like you're young, and it's like the years kind of go by and you realize like, I don't know, it's just hard to, you go through a roller coaster of emotions because there's hope and then you constantly get disappointments. And if you think about it, like there's a lot of people that go longer without having a baby than I did. But if you're thinking about 4 years to like your every single month is a letdown. So it's not just it, you just go through this month after month after month. And it's like, it's a grieving process every time. And it's something that you kind of get used to, but it, you know, hurts more months than others. And it's just, it was a long process, a horrible long process that was just, it was hard on me mentally, physically, spiritually. But at this point in our journey, like, we were also like going through a lot of emotions, like, how far do we go? Because, you know, we're Christians and we want to be able to trust God and have faith that He is in control. But how much do we take that into our hands? Like, how much do we keep going? Like, I was struggling a lot with, am I not trusting Him by getting help? And I think a lot of people go through that in their heads, because a lot of times, like, in the culture today, especially like in religious organizations, there's a lot of people that say, oh, you're playing God, and, you know, you're not trusting, you're not having faith by moving forward, by getting help. And it's really sad, because there, that pressure is there. And it's a lot of like ignorance coming from people that they don't know the process, they don't know how it works, they think that the doctors are in control. So it really takes a toll on you, just having other people's opinions and just knowing, like, maybe I am not following God's lead. So I think that was one of the biggest things for me, is to know how far to go with this. And I think it took me a long time to kind of get to that peace about it, because I was in my head a lot. But we did choose to move forward. And I think what kind of got me to that point was, I started to think, you know, I think that me going, actually acting in faith, is actually moving forward and taking the steps. Because if I give up and I stop, I feel like I'm not actually following God's lead. Like, we just need to take it step by step and just keep moving forward. And so we did that. So we, the next step after that was IUI, which is pretty much, they take the man's sperm and they put it up the woman and hope that they hope it works. And I think, so this is actually kind of a scary process, because you could get multiple children from this. This is something that's not controlled at all. They're just putting it in the right environment and hoping that it works. So that's something that's kind of like, they have to warn you, okay, this could be multiple children, because we're putting all these in the right environment. And it's millions, right? I don't know if you guys know that, but it's like millions.
You could have a million children.
No. Definitely can't have a million children. So we did that twice, didn't work. And I do want to mention that, like, the percentages of these things working is very low, which is so crazy to me, because people get pregnant without knowing, right? They get pregnant by accident. And it's insane to me, because when you actually get down to it and you see how this process works in creating a human being, it is insane the things that have to actually happen for it to work. So it just blows my mind that people get pregnant on accident. But yeah. I think that was,
surprise. That was like,
yeah, exactly. It's crazy. It's amazing how people don't believe in God, because it's just the things that God has to be present in is incredible. It's an incredible process.
Well, I do remember you saying that about, I think through this process, that you know, actually knowing those statistics and like how, like, the chances of becoming pregnant and all of that, like, you are able to see God's like perfect design. And I think when you don't go through those things, like with infertility and like to go through as far as you went through, you would have never even known. So I feel like through that, it's hard to, you know.
Yes, definitely.
You know, say that, you know, you're not doing it not with God's plan. Like, I feel like God is in everything, and He knows, you know, what He can teach you or show those special few who are going through this, you know, to not only appreciate, you know, when you do get pregnant, a long, hard journey, but to actually see, you know, his intricate, perfect design on how all this works.
Yes, that's perfectly said, because that was number one after all of this, like, that stuck with me, because I have never been so close to God than when I was going through this journey. And I never saw like as much just like care for me as a human being, like he, as a daughter of Christ, like I felt like I was set apart. And instead of feeling left out, like I had felt for so many years, I felt like he set me apart for this. And he was actually spending extra time to like help me grow and help me see this amazing, just this amazing miracle that he performed. And it's crazy how you can switch how you're thinking, because there's so many times that you feel left out in an infertility journey, but God is actually right there and he is spending so much more time with you than you realize. And when you can actually switch that in your mind and actually realize how much God loves you and how much he set you apart, and it's amazing the things that you can experience, but it's hard to get there. But once you, it's amazing. So the thing with infertility treatment is that, you know, I hear all the time, oh, you're playing God. But when it comes down to it, like, God is in every step. The doctors can't make the sperm and the egg come together and grow. The doctors can't make it go, you know, burrow into the uterine wall and actually, you know, get pregnant. Like, all of this stuff, they put it in the perfect environment, but God is in that. They cannot control everything. And so it's a lot of faith. You have to have a lot of faith that you're taking these steps and that God's going to step in. So just seeing that, and that most people don't see, like you say, like nobody really understands when they get pregnant, all the things that have to happen. But when you actually see that, it's just amazing. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like God wanted me to see that, and he wanted me to experience that. And I'm just actually so thankful for it. So
what were some of the things that you were like do's and don'ts, someone going through infertility? Like, what were the things that were said to you, or, you know, where you felt like you weren't seen, and things that like assisted with you feeling left out? Like, what were those things? And then what was really helpful?
So it is really good to have a support group. But there's a lot of things that people say without mean intentions that hurt somebody going through infertility. You know, it's a very emotional and sensitive time. And so things that people say can really trigger somebody going through infertility. And it sucks, because people don't realize that, and they're not trying to be malicious, but there's little things that really do sting. I think one thing that was hard for me is when people would say, like, they try to give advice, like, we hadn't tried certain things, like, oh, if you just relax, or if you stop trying, things like that is almost invalidating somebody's feelings, because obviously if that worked, then we would be somewhere. Like, it's not like we didn't think of that, right? And it's not like you can turn off the stress and turn off the fear. And when you're dealing with an actual medical issue, just relaxing and forgetting about it isn't gonna work. And so that's invalidating of somebody's hurt. And also just saying stuff like, oh, you can have my kids, or are you sure you want kids, or just wait, like things like that are hurtful because obviously these people are wanting kids so badly. And for you to just say something just so insensitive, that stings as well. But on the other end of things, I will say that if you are going through infertility, you have to have grace for people because people don't realize it. They're not feeling those feelings that you're feeling. They're not trying to make you upset or hurt you. It's just something that kind of is natural for people to say, and they don't know what to say. And so it's awkward, and it's not their fault. It's not their fault that you're going through this. And so it's hard, but you have to have grace for people because it's not an easy thing to go through. I will say also, like, if you have a friend or a family member going through this and you know that they're in deep with it, just asking them how it's going or texting them or calling them on a day that you know is important, they have an appointment, they have a transfer, anything like that is really important, because when you're going through this alone, it feels very like you feel left out and you feel kind of isolated. And for somebody to reach out, that just helps encourage you and feel like you're not alone in this and that people are supportive. I think one thing that was hard for me is with feeling left out is that a lot of people, when they get pregnant, they feel like they have to like walk on pins and needles, and they obviously dread telling you. Sometimes they don't tell you and you find out the hard way. And I can 100% say that that is worse than somebody telling me in the beginning, hey, I'm pregnant. Hey, I just wanted to let you know. I've had friends do it different ways. I've had friends tell me before they make a social media announcement because they feel like that would be a little bit easier for me. I've had friends not tell me. My own sister didn't tell me for months that she was pregnant, and that was very hurtful. I took that so hard because I didn't get to experience those months with her of joy and happiness. And I love children, and I like, it's something that I want to celebrate. And her being fearful of hurting my feelings, just, it made it so much worse. So I would encourage telling this person, be gentle, but also like making sure that you include them because they already feel left out. So that's a big one for me.
There was a huge surge of these, you know, those like fake, you know, pregnancy announcement, you know, April Fool's jokes.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where some people, you know, people going through infertility or have had miscarriages and whatnot, just trying to get pregnant, that this is a really horrible, hurtful prank to do and insensitive. Did you have anybody do any of those kinds of jokes during your journey?
I'm sure there were. I don't remember specifically, but I'm a part of a lot of infertility support groups. And I know that specifically is very hurtful to a lot of people. I feel like I had a little bit of a different outlook on things. There's some people that can get very, very bitter, and understandably very bitter. And it's hard to kind of get yourself out of that. And so things like that, jokes like that are very hurtful. They make you angry. It's easy to put that bitterness on other people and that anger on other people. And it's very hard to come out of that. So I feel like most people think it's funny. They're not sensitive to the struggles that people are going through. So it's just awareness, like raising awareness that obviously, like, I mean, just like the pop culture stuff, like some people just don't know. And so having grace for those people, but also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just like ignorance.
Yeah, exactly. It's ignorance. And so kind of understanding that and having that outlook and realizing that people just don't know is, I think, a big thing for somebody going through it, because you can let your heart rot if you focus on those things. And obviously you're going through so much that you don't want to have to add on top of that, because the anger and the resentment and the bitterness that can just eat away at you. And I just feel like during this time, that's not something to focus on. And So I would encourage trying to let those things kind of go, but that's just my point of view.
Yeah. So tell me, I mean, I already know, but tell all your listeners, what was the final thing that you were able to get pregnant with?
So we did in vitro fertilization. So for people that don't know what that is, it's where they take the man and the woman and they actually place them together in the same environment. They extract the eggs and the sperm, they put them in the same environment. And they hope that they come together. They let them grow for 5 days. They score them based on the quality, and then they freeze them. And so I actually had a lot of eggs that they extracted. Some people don't get very many, so I was blessed in that sense. But we ended up with 13 embryos, which is an insane amount. And I'm so, so blessed, because there was someone next to me that had 4 eggs extracted, and I don't even know if she would have got any embryos from that, because I had 30 and I ended up with 14 or 13 embryos. So it's insane how many eggs they can extract and how little of embryos that can actually form from that. So we were really blessed with that. We did end up transferring one last October, and it worked. I got the phone call. I waited to listen to it with Philip, my husband, and after work, and they said that I was pregnant, and we were ecstatic, obviously. I had never in my life experience such happiness, because after having 4 years of negative, you start to think that it never will happen, and you'll never see that those two lines, and you'll never hear you're pregnant. So obviously we were so, so happy. Mm-hmm. So at that point, you're pretty much, you're pregnant, you're farther along than what somebody else would be, because the embryos grew outside of you. And so they schedule you an ultrasound just to make sure that everything looks according to the growth that it should be. So we had scheduled that for the next week. We went in and we were so excited. As they were doing the ultrasound, I could tell on the lady's face that things weren't, sorry, I'm getting a little emotional, that things were not what she had expected to see. They take blood work, and she said that the embryo was not as far along as they expected. But to not lose hope, we were going to check the blood work, and hopefully everything was looking good, and maybe it just needed a little bit more time. But at that moment, I knew things were not good. So we left, and my husband was trying to encourage me, and I just knew something was wrong. And so we got the call later saying that things were not looking good, and that I was actually going to have to experience a miscarriage. And so obviously that was really hard. It was like the joy just ripped from you, especially after so long and going through all that. And in the midst of this, I was giving myself shots every single day. And it's physically draining, and it's physically and emotionally obviously draining. So I'm going on this roller coaster of emotions. We're ecstatic. We think we're going to have a baby finally. And then all of a sudden the rug is just pulled out from underneath you. So, going through that, we had to decide if we were going to try again immediately, because the doctors had said that it's best to just keep going with all the hormones and everything that your body's going through to just get back into it. And something that was so hard for me is feeling so much guilt, because I didn't want to move on from that baby. Yeah. Like, that baby was a part of me, and I felt like
it's a baby.
Yes, right. And to just start over again, it felt wrong. I felt wrong. Oh. I felt like I was forgetting that baby and saying, okay, well, let's just try again. And so going through those emotions was really, really difficult. But I 100% think that in my case, it was healing for me to keep going because I just needed to, for me, that was the best choice for us to just keep going. So we did try as soon as we could after everything that I went through and my body getting back to normal. I mean, it's not something that's easy. You have to wait for your levels to come down. You have to actually pass the tissue. And that's a waiting game. So you have to wait for all those things and experience those things. And it's almost, it feels like you're just like put in the trash, like they're taking the trash out, and it's hard. But I think for us, it was something that we felt like we were going to heal if we just kept going. So we did transfer another one. We got the call a week later. Usually you have to wait 2 weeks, and we got a call the week later saying, Sarah, you're pregnant. Like, your levels are so high. We wanted to tell you early. You're definitely pregnant. And obviously we're excited, but we're cautious because going through that, you just have to like be very aware that things might not go your way because it's so hurtful. So when people are congratulating you and saying like, you know, we're so excited for you, I was actually pretty numb. It was hard for me to get excited. It was hard for me to accept congratulations because it didn't feel real. But I do have a 7-month baby, Lincoln, from this, and he's the most beautiful baby in the world. And God came through like he always does. And I look back on that experience and just, I'm so thankful for every step along the way. And we're on the other side. Thank God.
Long journey. Long, long journey.
Yes, very long journey.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but I know that we have like more to this story. And so we're going to have everybody stay tuned for part two, maybe part three. I don't know. We can sure talk a lot. That's.
Oh boy.
That happens with us.
Well, thank you for having me. And I appreciate you telling my story and letting me share with others. And I hope that even though my mind is a mess and a blur, like, I'm just so thankful that I finally was able to accept your invitation.
Yes, I nagged you enough. Well, I backed off. I did, because I wanted you to be ready.
You did. You did.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I mean, I probably won't nag you to be like, hey, come and just talk with us to talk funny stuff or whatever, because that's always fun.
Yeah.
We'll continue this in part two. Is there any, do you want people to follow you on Instagram?
I mean, sure. I'm always up for new friends.
Okay. Well, go ahead and where can people find you at?
Oh gosh. I don't know. I literally don't know my Instagram name.
You're not sure how to spell it, because I have another friend, like another friend with a complicated Instagram.
Can't people?
Yeah, it's literally, I will spell it for you. No, it's why can't I find you?
It's S.
You didn't go and delete it, did you?
No, it's S-A-A-R-R-A-A-U-U-H. Sarah.
Oh, that's why. I forget. Oh, my gosh. Yes. One more time. It is S-A-A-R-R-A-A-U-U-H.
I need to change that.
That's to have Sarah for you. More grown up. Well, yeah. You have a very common name like me, so it's probably going to be hard. Okay, so you're a mom now. You need a mom Instagram handle.
Yeah.
Well, you can find me at ashley.reed and find us at Uncommon Faith Podcast, as well as email us at uncommonfaithpodcast@gmail.com.
You can find me at amber_n_g on Instagram.
Thank you so much, Miss Sarah. I also call her friendship. We call each other friendship ring, which is a funny story for later. Not actually, it's not that funny, but until next time, guys, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.